Thank you. Welcome back. It's 6 minutes past the hour. It is my pleasure to welcome back to the program, Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents, Dr. Courtney Craven, interventional cardiologist, board certified in cardiovascular disease and nuclear cardiology. Dr. Craven earned her medical degree at DeVos College of Osteopathic Medicine in Philadelphia after medical school. Dr. Craven completed a residency in internal medicine at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. She went on to complete both a fellowship in cardiology and interventional cardiology at Deborah Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey. Dr. Craven, welcome back. We have a very important topic. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. Welcome back. And let's get right into it. The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven is Know Your Numbers for Heart Health on the Day Before Valentine's Day. What numbers should we know for our heart health, and what are the target ranges?
Yeah, I think the most important things to remember when you're thinking about your heart health are blood pressure. I mean, this is a very important vital sign that is checked usually at every doctor's appointment. Also, routine lab work in the form of, you know, routine blood that's drawn with a doctor or at a LabCorp or Quest. Your cholesterol, particularly looking at LDL cholesterol. Also, another number that's very important to us as cardiologists is your hemoglobin A1C, which is a three-month average of your blood sugar, looking at whether you cross over into that diabetic range or not. And then also your body mass index. I mean, you know, looking at overall health, we do have to look at our weight and how it changes over the years and things like that to really incorporate that into our health. In terms of normal
Go ahead. No, you go.
Yeah, in terms of normal numbers for these, normal for blood pressure, I mean, we're looking for, you know, a range. Blood pressure is going to vary. So anywhere between, you know, really 120 and like, you know, 130 for the top number of your blood pressure recording. And then bottom number, we're looking anywhere between like 80, you know, really 75 and 85. But again, those are rough estimates. Blood pressure is extremely variable. And also is dependent on any medications you're taking and things like that. Range for your LDL cholesterol also depends on your comorbidities, meaning other things that are going on with your medical health. We like to say definitely an LDL cholesterol below 130, particularly if you have issues like diabetes or things like that, we want it closer to 100 or even 70. Total cholesterol should be under 200. You know, those would be the main ones. And the hemoglobin A1C, we definitely want that under 6%. We want that to be in a non-diabetic range.
Sidebar, before we get to the next topic, because one of the areas you brought up was the blood pressure, which obviously they say that's like the silent killer. People can have it and just go along like nothing's wrong. They don't even know it if they don't get on top of their numbers. And that's why this topic is so important today as Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven. As we get older, does the blood pressure rise as you get older?
Yeah, blood pressure definitely rises. Everybody's individual, but as we age, our arteries get a little stiffer, right? So we deposit a little bit of calcium into the arteries, and the smooth muscle that helps our arteries stay nice and spongy, we kind of lose that sponginess. So the blood pressure, because of that phenomenon, can go up a little bit as we age. And it's just something that we should be aware of. I mean, this is a vital sign that should be taken at every doctor's appointment. You can also do it at home. You can check your blood pressure at home and stay on top of it with just a cuff. Or if you're grocery shopping or you're at CVS and you just pop over to the pharmacy and grab a blood pressure, trends should be followed. Like I said, blood pressure is extremely variable. So if you get one recording that's not within that quote unquote normal range, no reason to be alarmed. It's really a trend we should be interested in looking at. And if it is high, contact your doctor or your local cardiologist here at Deborah.
The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven is Know Your Numbers for Heart Health. And there's a lot of real important content that Dr. Craven will be sharing this half hour. Following up on the first question, you did a great job on the target ranges and, you know, what the numbers are and all that. Why is it important to know your numbers?
It's important to know that your numbers, number one, because as we age, these numbers can change, right? There's influence of genetics. We also change as individuals as we age. We might, you know, have other comorbidities or other medical problems that become part of our health history. And keeping on top of these numbers is kind of the first way. It's almost, think of it as a preventative way to prevent major heart events like stroke and heart attack. If these numbers are, you know, ranging outside of what we call quote unquote normal, then, you know, that is going to be cause for us to order more testing, order some screening tests, and kind of see what's going on before it becomes an emergency.
You covered the age aspect of this, but let me add in a separate question. Do the goal numbers for total cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, BMI, all the things, Dr. Craven, that you've been talking about, do they differ for men and women?
They do. Yep. There's definitely differences between men and women. We do. And they also differ with age, too. I mean, everybody's individual. So usually the cholesterol numbers, particularly your good cholesterol, which is classified as your HDL, when you look at it on your cholesterol panel, HDL is a good form of cholesterol, and we do want that to be above 40 in males and above 50 in females. So those are kind of the numbers you're looking for. You know, BMI, it's really not going to change across genders. Obviously, it's going to go up a little bit as we age, but, you know, we do want to keep that, you know, the normal range is around 24. 22 to 24. So we want to keep it kind of as close to that as we can. But as you age, the BMI can, you know, rise a little bit. That's not a huge cause for concern. It's just major, you know, major spikes are things that, you know, are a cause for kind of pause and say, what's different? What's changing? That would be important to note.
I want to say that in the not too distant past, although it's probably been a number of years, if you were under 200 for total cholesterol, if I'm not mistaken, you were good to go. Nobody bothered you. It was like, you're good. You're 176. You're 186. All is well. But you could be 176 and your good cholesterol be too low and your bad cholesterol be too high. What do you do if you are beneath 200, but if the scenario that I just floated is your individual case?
Yeah, so that's a real good point. This is a really good question because this happens a lot. We see patients where they're in goal with their total cholesterol and maybe your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, is a little bit on the lower side. Again, a big genetic predisposition there. And really HDL cholesterol, which is your good cholesterol, we don't have a really good medication to augment that. The best thing we have to tell patients clinically is to do a low level of exercising, aerobic exercising, because that can actually increase that number. But it's really an algorithm. What we've gone away from just kind of looking at discrete numbers and time, and it's really the whole picture. It's the whole health picture of a patient. You know, their numbers help clue us in as to what's going on inside their body, but we also have to combine that with healthy eating and active lifestyle in the form of aerobic activity and following up with your physicians on a regular basis. I mean, it's all part of the picture to make you, to help prevent cardiovascular events, which is what every cardiologist and physician out there that's their goal.
The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven is Know Your Numbers for Heart Health. We're going to do one more question before the only break that we take during the program. I do want to remind all of our listeners to make an appointment with Deborah Heart and Lung Center. It could not be simpler to navigate from any digital device, your handheld smartphones, you know, iPads, laptops, desktops. Just go to demanddeborah.org or you can phone. You can use the phone and call 609-621-2080. To make an appointment, 609-621-2080 to make an appointment with Dr. Craven or any of the great doctors at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. How often should we monitor our numbers?
Yeah, so usually, you know, as we age, when you're, I like to tell my patients anybody above the age of really, you know, 35, we like to monitor these numbers twice a year at a minimum. If you are somebody where the hemoglobin A1C, which is that numeric value that crosses you over into the diabetic range or non-diabetic, if you're somebody that is monitoring that closer, then I would recommend every 4 months, because this number can change every 3 months. So a little bit more frequently if you do have concerns about your hemoglobin A1C, but really twice a year is a good look at your numbers over time, and it gives you enough time to kind of identify deviations from the norm and also implement things in your life that can hopefully change those numbers to bring them back down to normal ranges.
When we come back after our one and only timeout, we're going to talk about, or I should say, I'm being generous to include myself, Dr. Craven. We'll be talking about how technology can help with managing your heart health, and are wearables helpful? I'll give you an example. About a minute ago, not even, I'm wearing an iWatch, and obviously that heart application that's on your wrist, it's amazing the amount of technology that is available. And that's just one item, an iWatch. So I did check my heart health, and I'm assuming that I'm a little elevated because I'm a little bit nervous. We're talking about the heart. No, I'm just teasing. I'm at 66 beats a minute right now, which I will take that. I'm jazzed up. So, that's not bad. At least I don't think it's bad. We'll see what Dr. Craven says after the break. Thank you. Welcome back. It's 21 minutes past the hour. It is Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Courtney Craven, a very talented interventional cardiologist at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And we have visited on air with Dr. Craven in the past, and she's absolutely terrific to do the program with. And we had a cliffhanger right before the break about technology. How can technology help with managing your heart health, and are wearables helpful? I mentioned that I wear every day. I didn't used to, but for about the past year, and now I swear by it, I just love the technology of the iWatch. And in fact, I do check it's one of the ones that I have on the very front. You can set it so that if you want the temperature, things that are important to you. Like, I want to know what the temperature is, so that's on the front screen. You can't put that many on it, but also the heart button, which is the health, but it is a red heart, and it's the health button. One of the things it does is it will show you, even if you're not looking for it, it'll tell you 5 minutes ago your heart rate was 66. And then it will then calculate what it is right then and there. So I think that's a good thing to have. Dr. Craven, do you like that, the wearable technology?
Yeah, I definitely think that the new wearable technology, specifically, you know, the iWatch, there's also, you know, external monitors. One of them is the Cardia device.
Yep.
And, you know, I like these because it gives the patient the ability to kind of monitor at home. And usually what happens is that's kind of the front line of identifying if there's a change in the heart rate or if the patient is feeling, you know, bad or feeling lousy, and they can identify that it's due to an abnormality with their heart rate or their heart rhythm, which those devices can also identify an irregular heart rhythm. That gives us a little bit of insight into what's going on. 50% of patients feel arrhythmias, 50% of patients don't feel arrhythmias. So this can be a really non-invasive way of saying, hey, there's a problem. Now, it's not going to take the place of seeing your cardiologist. It's not going to take the place of, you know, getting your heart rhythm evaluated by, you know, a more formal monitor. But if we can identify it earlier, before structural changes happen, I think this has been a good advent, you know, with technology, where technology and medical health kind of merge.
We are visiting with Dr. Courtney Craven, interventional cardiologist at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The topic this half hour is know your numbers for heart health. To make an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, simple to do, digitally demanddeborah.org, or you can call 609-621-2080 to schedule, and they have a lot of great doctors that you will be very, very pleased with, including Dr. Courtney Craven and her discipline, her areas of responsibility. What tests or screenings should people get to monitor their heart health?
So in terms of screening tests, the first screen I would recommend is if you think that there's something going wrong with the heart or you have an EKG that's done at your primary care physician's office and it's abnormal for some reason, then I would recommend seeing a cardiologist just to kind of get your story out, talk with them about, you know, your risk factors that have been monitored. And there's a lot of new non-invasive screening tests that are available, specifically stress testing. There's also some new technology with CAT scan. Also, we have the calcium score, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard of, which is a quick kind of look at the overall calcium in and around the heart. And then we also have, you know, an ultrasound, which is the echocardiogram, a very, very good tool for looking at the structure of the heart and also any valvular heart disease that might be present.
Sidebar again, off the list of questions that we did our pre-show with the low dose aspirin that I've read over many years and many years of doing this show and also the Deborah Heart and Lung Center TV show for over 20 years, that sometimes the recommendation seems to be that, you know, particularly maybe senior citizens and above, the 60 milligrams or whatever it is, the low dose aspirin is something that was in vogue, if you will. Then sometimes you hear, no, it's not necessarily a good thing because maybe coagulation or whatever. Is that in or out right now?
Yeah, right now the recommendations for baby aspirin, which is 81 milligrams, we don't recommend this prophylactically. So maybe, 10 or 15 years ago, we were recommending to take this because it will prevent a heart attack. If a patient has not had any cardiovascular events, it will prevent you from having one of these events. So we've gone away from that recommendation and we don't recommend it in the setting of no atherosclerotic disease. And what I mean by that is any plaque that's identified in any of the vascular beds. Anywhere in the body, really. So the neck, the head, the aorta, which is the main pumping pipe in the center of the chest, or in the heart arteries. If you do have identified plaque in those arteries, we do recommend a baby aspirin, which is 81 milligrams, to prevent cardiovascular events, and antiplatelet therapy. But we've gone away from this prophylactic recommendation because aspirin is an antiplatelet medicine, so it can also thin the lining of the stomach and cause some increased bleeding risk as well. So,
Great answer. Important question. What are other risk factors for developing heart disease?
Other risk factors for developing heart disease, definitely family history is kind of a non-modifiable. You can't pick your family, but that's a very important non-modifiable risk factor. As we talked about before, diabetes, a high cholesterol state. Another very important risk factor is smoking. Smoking is directly related to increase in cardiovascular disease, among other things that smoking can cause. And then another risk factor for developing cardiovascular disease, again, non-modifiable, is aging. So just something that we should go into eyes wide open and, get your regular screening, go see your cardiologist, talk it over with them, and just be on the same page with what's going on with your health.
The topic this half hour is Know Your Numbers for Heart Health, Deborah Heart Lung Center's Dr. Courtney Craven. To make an appointment, you can digitally do so, demanddeborah.org, or you can phone scheduling 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080, to make an appointment. You talked very, very well earlier in your program, Dr. Craven, about the different goal numbers and things. I want to drill down specifically on someone with diabetes or kidney disease. Do they need to monitor their numbers more frequently?
Yeah, if you have diabetes renal disease, or if you've had a cardiovascular event, there's actually brand new kind of recommendations coming out on cholesterol numbers, particularly that bad cholesterol, that LDL cholesterol. And the recommendation previously was we wanted your LDL at 70, which is much lower than that 130, that normal 130 that I talked about earlier. And now the recommendation is actually closer to 55. So over time, as we amass more information and we're looking through more information, looking through more cases, what could we have done differently? What's different in these cases? We're noticing that lower LDL cholesterol, particularly in patients that do have diabetes, kidney disease, or a previous cardiovascular event, the lower the LDL is, the lower your risk of a future event or having your first event if you haven't had one yet.
Dr. Craven, talk about lifestyle changes and medication in terms of helping to lower someone's numbers.
Yeah, lifestyle changes, you know, I can't speak strongly for this. It's probably the most difficult thing for a patient to change, myself included. Changing the way you do your routine is very difficult. It's going to require kind of a new routine and a lot of dedication. But, you know, really just getting more aerobically active 3 to 5 times a week can significantly change your cardiovascular risk. And what I mean by that is doing aerobic activities like walking. If you have access to a stationary bike, access to a pool, where you just do some low level, you know, water aerobics or something like that. But really something that doesn't cost any money, just getting out there and walking for 20 minutes, grab a friend, you know, get them involved, keep them, you know, keep them on the right path too. And changing your lifestyle in that way, decreasing your salt intake. That's another big one. Not only table salt that you add, but also salt that's already added into food that you're making. And then also picking lower cholesterol, you know, options when you're thinking about cooking your meals. So those are the lifestyle changes that if you really can make a dent in those, I'm telling you, your cardiovascular health is going to benefit.
That is huge. Dr. Craven, if someone listening wants to start to be more active, and I know this is a tricky one because, you know, I'm just asking you generally, what are they looking for in terms of target heart rate and range that would be beneficial and safe? I mean, you know, say they start at 80 beats a minute, 75 beats a minute, whatever. What do they need to get to for it to be beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, the rough estimate that we like to tell patients is, you know, take the number 220 and subtract your age, and that's kind of going to be your target for kind of like, you know, weight loss and overall aerobic conditioning. So that's going to condition your heart in an aerobic fashion, and basically build stamina in your heart. So obviously, if you had a cardiovascular event, you should talk with your cardiologist about your specific ranges. But,
exactly.
You know, if you're otherwise healthy and have not had an event, then the general rule is 220 minus your age.
And here's one that I'm sure you see because, you know, people start taking their medication, they're listening to their Dr. Craven, and they're feeling better, and then they want to stop taking the medication. So respond, what's the answer to the question I just posed?
Yeah, I mean, this is a common question we get in the office a lot, and I understand it. You know, patients don't want to be, you know, reliant on all these medications every day. But if we are seeing a good trend with your numbers that we've talked about through the session, and you're seeing an overall benefit in your health, if you're feeling better, if your blood pressure is lower, maybe you might be having less headaches or something that you're noticing a big change, then, you know, I'd really recommend riding that out for a little while on the medicines and continuing the program. Certainly throughout your care, you can always have a conversation with your doctor and say, hey, I've changed these aspects of my life. I've decreased my salt intake. I'm not eating as much cholesterol. Do you mind if we cut back and kind of monitor the numbers and see if we're still stable? I mean, those conversations I welcome in the clinic, but realize that, you know, the changes from the medicines are probably reliant on you continuing that medical program because it's helping all the efforts you're doing at home keep you healthy.
Such a good answer. Dr. Craven, a couple of minutes left in your program and a couple of questions. We're going to get right to the finish line. Talk about the importance of the partnership of the patient and the healthcare provider to maintain their heart health.
Yeah, I can't speak enough for this. I mean, really, I recommend that patients have a really good primary care physician because they are really going to be the gatekeeper of your health. But then also, you know, I recommend, you know, people that are elderly or have a family history, you know, you get a cardiologist and have an evaluation. And that creates a baseline. So then that communication can be open between you. If you do have things that come up, you have chest pain or things just aren't feeling right, or you have a question about a screening test that maybe your friend had, is that a good screening test for you? You know, I think these conversations, what's going to make our health overall, you know, as a community better, is being open about things that we're feeling, open about our health, and talking with your doctor and getting maybe the reassurance you need that, hey, you're on the right path. This is exactly what you should be doing. Or, you know, I really recommend we look further into X, Y, and Z. So keeping that communication with your doctor is really going to, I mean, it's going to extend your life. It's really going to give you a better quality of life. You know,
and what I love this last question. What advice do you have, Dr. Craven, for people who want to prevent heart disease in the first place and live heart healthy? Final question.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to go back to the first part of this talk. I mean, really just screening early with the risk factors we talked about and keeping on top of things, continuing to lead a very active lifestyle, incorporating, you know, dietary changes to stay active. I think those are the most important things, combined with, you know, meeting regularly with your doctor to talk about changes that are occurring.
Deborah Heart and Lung Center has presented Dr. Courtney Craven, interventional cardiologist. The topic this half hour, and you did great, is know your health numbers for heart health to make an appointment. Call demanddeborah.org. I'm sorry, you can go digitally to demanddeborah.org, or you can call 609-621-2080. Always enjoy our time together, Dr. Craven. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me. Everybody have a great day.
You're welcome.